Welcome back. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and on the web at www.cfru.ca. This is our third installment of Griff Talk, and we'll be here live on the air every Friday from noon to 12:30 discussing the local sports scene. I'm Ken Cheesy, joined here by my co-host Mike Treadgold, your Ontarian sports and health editor for 2009 and 2010. We just concluded our game recaps, and now we'll get to the interview segment of the program. We're lucky, and very lucky, I may say, to be joined here by Tom Kendall, the Director of Athletics here at the University of Guelph. Thanks a lot for joining us, Tom. Really appreciate having you here.
Very welcome.
Tom, there's certainly been lots of things that have gone on in the world of Griffins athletics lately outside of the games. One thing that you and I talked about last week is the development of sort of the unexpected development in terms of the athletic facilities. We're getting a turf field in Guelph here. Sort of how did that come about, and what does it mean for the athletics program here?
Well, as you know, as you've written about before, the plan was to build two synthetic soccer fields east of the Eastring Road.
Right.
That was the request of the student body when they went to referendum.
Correct.
That was one of the projects. The other was the development of the Mitchell Center.
Right.
So so that plan was moving forward, and we had initial planning design work done for that. Unfortunately, the university has all kinds of financial problems.
Something that was out of your control.
Correct.
Of course.
And the university administration decided that this project should be put on hold for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, we have some major problems in athletics with fields. I mean, natural fields are very good to play on. Mm-hmm. Most people prefer them. But you can't use them very often.
Absolutely.
And maybe 3 hours a day. And with a wet fall and with the number of programs that we operate, it's impossible to keep them in good shape. So we had a situation last year, for instance, where our football team was practicing on a baseball diamond.
Yeah.
And sometimes our rugby team couldn't practice. And then in preparation for the Ottawa game, football, the guys had to practice in the dome for 2 days.
Is that right?
So that's really very disruptive. In addition, you know, we have to cancel a lot of intramural games because of the inclement weather. So we thought that we felt that we had the revenue to build one field,
mm-hmm.
and we had to do it with the least expense possible.
Sure.
So we chose the rugby field because it's already a field, so mm-hmm. that means that there's not major excavation. And it also already has lights, which mm-hmm. are expensive to install. So we felt that would be the field to do it, and we're presently looking at contractors that will give us an idea of what that will cost us to do. And we're hoping to be in the ground in April and completed by early August.
It's
so
amazing.
That'll give us one field.
Sure. And I remember you also mentioned to me, and it's also worth mentioning, that the money for this field is not coming from the student fees. Is that right?
There's
stuff that was – you mentioned that you're going to generate some revenue from rentals. And then there's some surplus and some operating expenses.
We carried a surplus in our operating budget a couple of years ago, which we still have, and we will budget for this within our operating budget, and we will also create revenue during the summer when our students are not on campus,
mm-hmm.
From community groups. So, a combination of those three things, we will be in a position where we can install this field, and it will significantly help our programs. I mean, instead of now being able to use this facility 3 hours a day in good weather, we'll now be able to use it 24 hours a day if we feel that's necessary.
Sure.
So that'll advantage not only our varsity teams, particularly rugby, football, soccer, lacrosse, field hockey,
mm-hmm.
but it will also really benefit our intramural program, particularly late in the year when we have a lot of playoffs.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a positive thing. And then the following year, if we get the extra two fields in that we plan to build, we'll be in a very strong position.
Absolutely. And was this sort of a case of something you had planned in the back of your mind since the directive came down from the university administration that things weren't going to go ahead? Or was this rather a matter of things sort of all falling into place at the right time?
This was just a reaction to desperation on my part. I couldn't see us going another year without a synthetic field.
Sure.
And so I sat down with our staff, our management group, and we decided that we had to find a way to get this synthetic field done. And fortunately, we you know, we've created the revenue that is necessary to do it. So,
sure.
So really, it was not planned. It was a desperate attempt to solve a problem.
Certainly, a very positive development. I know from some people I've talked to, they're certainly really excited.
Well, and they should be. I mean, I think this is going to give us a step up in terms of our preparation for games, and also in terms of our ability to finish the intramural schedules.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, Tom. Tomorrow is the Frosty Mug event downtown. Sort of, I remember you called it, sort of alluded to it earlier. It's kind of like the homecoming of hockey.
Correct.
Basically. Why is this event so important for Griffins Athletics?
It's important because, you know, with the exception of football, there really isn't a time where we bring people back and have, I mean, in hockey there is, because we have Hockey Day in Griffinville, which is a big thing for our reunions of our hockey people. But this was more an attempt to get into the community.
Showcase.
Using the arena where the Storm play, trying to attract some of their fans. And we thought if it was down in that arena in a downtown area, it would do two things. It would bring people downtown, so the businesses downtown gain some advantage.
Sure.
But it also allowed us to play in a super facility. Mm-hmm. And it'll attempt for on our side, it's an attempt for us to showcase our hockey team.
Sure. And so you started this tradition last year. I believe it was called the Winter Classic at
Correct.
The time. Did you get the kind of results that you were looking for from that event, or is it the kind of thing that's really going to end up building steam as it becomes more regular?
Usually with these kind of things, in the same way that we started our golf tournament 3 years ago, mm-hmm. it takes 3 or 4 years to get to a point where you can then assess whether it's doing what you wanted it to do. I mean, the first 2 years is really a growth period where you're trying to kind of generate some interest. And then third and fourth is the time when you really find out whether it's doing what you expect it to do. So this is year two. We'll see how many students and so on we get down there. I know we've done a very good job of promoting in the residences.
Good.
But this is an exciting brand of hockey. I mean, this is actually a better brand of hockey than the OHL.
Absolutely.
And junior, because these guys are faster, stronger, a little more skilled. And you know, I think it's an event or a game that people, once they see it, want to come back and see more. And particularly now that our team is better. I mean, our team is much, much better this year. We mm-hmm. have much better players.
Good.
And I think we're just going to get much stronger.
Excellent. I've just got one more quick thing, because we were calling the basketball game last Saturday, and you were at the W.F. Mitchell Athletic Center to presenting the OUA Championship Award to the women's rugby and the women's field hockey team. How successful are the women's athletics at this school? It really, it's amazed me all year about how regularly we're seeing these women just be among the class of the OUA.
I think there's a number of reasons for that. I mean, we've got a tradition in women's sport, particularly women's rugby and, mm-hmm. and field hockey, and women's cross country, of course, dominate in this country.
Absolutely.
And, of course, women's track. But we're also starting to see some real gains in swimming. We have some female wrestlers now that are very, very good.
Definitely.
I think that our women's volleyball team, probably over the last 3 years, is probably the most improved team on campus, male or female.
I would agree. Compared to this year, compared to last year, huge difference.
So I think, I think there's a tradition with some of our women's programs. And I also think the fact that we have that our general population here is 70% female mm-hmm. Makes it easiest for us to recruit, you know, to recruit females onto this campus. So I think that's part of it.
And we were broadcasting the basketball games this past season. We have for 3 seasons now, following the men and women's Griffins. The men's football team actually has been, we've been observing them cheerleading behind the visiting benches, and actually forcing those visiting benches out in the middle of the court and really disrupting things. I liken it to a heckler who was hired throughout the NBA in the late 90s in order to just put a wrench in the systems of the opposing teams. But we've heard a rumor that this has been quashed, this has been kiboshed, that the athletics department has said, guys, you can't do that anymore. It's not sportsmanlike or something. I don't know the reasons. What can you tell us about
okay, two
this?
Things.
Okay.
The league has a rule about where you can be located. You have to be four rows back from the player's bench.
Okay? You being?
The OUA. Okay, so if you're a fan, you have to be four rows up behind the bench.
Oh, so the first several rows should be empty all the
Correct.
Time. Okay,
yeah. And the reason for that is so that you can't get too close to the bench. What we have said here is that you can't that when you're a group like that and you're clearly in support of the home team and you're clearly out to heckle the opposition, that is going to lead to all kinds of problems. I mean, I coached basketball for 24 years, and I've seen some very ugly situations when players get involved with the crowd. So what we've said to them is, we would love you to be there, but we want you in the end zone or we want you on the opposite side. And actually, being on the opposite side is better because the opposing team bench can see you all the time. I think it's much more effective. And it creates a problem. It relieves us from the problem of having an altercation, which we don't need. I mean, it's interesting because I spoke to Chris O'Rourke before he left for Lakehead, and he was telling me what a zoo it is up there. You know, they call him by name. It's abusive. And you know what? That stuff eventually will lead to a confrontation.
Hooliganism.
Which we want to avoid. Mm. But we want them there for sure and making as much noise as possible. But we just don't want them behind the bench.
Not necessarily antagonizing. We've noticed throughout the year, it's been in several different situations, if you remember the Justin Dunn situation.
Right.
There's been a lot of instances where we've noticed, and it's been somewhat publicized, that Griffin's Athletics has been having to have the reins pulled in. And we've actually admired the way it's been done very professionally, and everybody's kind of agreed that, you know, these are things that had to have been done. But things that hadn't been happening in the past several years, people getting a little maybe too excited.
Right. As long as we don't care if they're provoking the other team, as long as there's no profanity and as long as it's not personal. I mean, those two things really are a problem. But other than that, I mean, making noise and making fun of the opposition is okay. I mean, that's just part of the game.
And I just have one more question. The Frosty Mug, or rather the Griffins game at the Sleeman Center, it did incorporate the women's team 2 years ago, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And is there any plans to do it in the future again?
It's a good question, and I don't have an answer. Women are on the road this weekend, we will take a look at it next year, and if we think the doubleheader is going to work for us in terms of our promotion and so on, then we'll do it. And if not, then we'll find a different way to attract people to their games.
And do you think it'll have anything to do with the success of the team?
Well, I think it always has a lot to do with the success of the team. I mean, if you're going to draw people to a game, it's got to be successful. Which our women's team generally is.
Generally, yeah. We followed them deep into the playoffs
absolutely.
Last year, and it was
yeah,
very
absolutely.
Exciting. So, all right. Thanks a lot, Tom Kendall, for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Me and Mike have had the pleasure of having to interview you several times in the past couple of years, and I really appreciate you. Always got great things to say. Director of Athletics here at the University of Guelph.